Morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Alex. You know, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, so I've got a kids' film for you today. And I've also got a pretty joyful documentary for you. I'm going to start with a kids' film.
Let's do this.
It's The War with Grandpa. Sounds a bit bleak, but it's actually a comedy. This one stars Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Not someone you'd normally associate with kids' films. A little kid called Oakes Fegley, who was in The Goldfinch, Uma Thurman, Rob Riggle, Cheech Marin, Jane Seymour, and Christopher Walken. It's directed by Tim Hill, who most recently did the SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run. The War with Grandpa is based on the book by Robert Kimmel Smith. Ed, played by Robert De Niro, is starting to get old and is lonely after the death of his wife. So his daughter Sally, played by Thurman, invites Ed to move in with the family.
You're not putting me in a home.
What if it were our home?
Much to son Peter's chagrin, Peter, played by Oakes Fegley. As it means Grandpa Ed gets Peter's room, whilst Peter has to move into the dusty old attic.
I just want my room back.
Dad Arthur, played by Rob Riggle, or Artie as Ed calls him, isn't that excited about Ed moving in either, as Ed is always trying to alpha him. So, egged on by friends at school, one night Peter sends Ed a declaration of war.
Declaration of war. Give me back what is mine or face the consequences.
Setting the scene for an escalating series of pranks. Now, this movie is rated PG-13, so nobody's really going to get hurt. Though, if some of the things that happen in this film actually happen to a man De Niro's age, which is 77, the consequences could be quite grim, or perhaps even fatal. But the violence is more in the slapstick Home Alone style, so everything should be okay. Come to think of it, all the 70-plus-year-olds in this film, Cheech Marin, Christopher Walken and Jane Seymour, all take a bit of a beating. Perhaps Robert Kimmel Smith and the filmmakers have something against the elderly. Also, apparently the sight of an old man's balls is quite traumatic. Somehow Arthur goes through this experience twice, and we, the audience, have to do it as well.
The
War with Grandpa really is quite a silly little Christmas movie. It's overly sentimental, as you'd expect a commercial American Christmas movie to be, and it's probably at least 10 minutes too long for its target audience at 94 minutes. But De Niro and Walken are still very watchable for the parent guardians in the audience. De Niro could have just phoned it in, but gives his character real warmth and depth, and has a great rapport with Oakes Fegley. And Christopher Walken just hammed it up so much that he's probably the funniest person in the film.
Did you see that?
And it also does have a nice little message about war, there being no winners, and it's the innocent who end up suffering and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully you won't suffer too much if you end up in the audience for The War with Grandpa.
Yeah, it's funny what you said about the big falls taken and the big hits taken by some of the older members of the cast. I was watching the trailer and I saw Christopher Walken dressed up as Santa Claus take a huge fall off a ladder and I instantly went, but he seemed to be fine, so.
He even gets blown up at one point in the film as well.
Oh,
and I just, how do you survive that? Well, it's the magic of movies, I suppose.
That's it. We're taking a bit of a left turn here from a Christmas movie now, aren't we?
Yeah, let's move on. This is The Bee Gees. How can you mend a broken heart? It sounds a bit sad, doesn't it?
The Bee Gees!
This is actually a very slick documentary directed by Frank Marshall, who's done films like 8 Below, Congo and Alive, but he's also better known for producing some of the biggest Hollywood blockbusters of the last 40 years.
I can't honestly come to terms with the fact that they're not here anymore.
Barry Gibb, the only surviving brother, is the centrepiece of this film as he fondly reminisces about growing up and making music with his brothers Robin and Morris, from their early days as 10 Pound Poms in Australia to their first peak of fame in London in the late 60s, early 70s, that period when Robin left the band, followed by their second huge peak in the late 70s that came with the Miami sound and the release of the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
If we hadn't been brothers, we wouldn't have lasted half an hour.
As well as writing hit songs for other major artists like Diana Ross, Dionne Warwick, Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. That was one of the most amazing things I learnt from watching this film, just the sheer number of hit songs these guys wrote.
It was just as important for us to have an artist singing one of our songs and being on the radio as it was for ourselves.
Not just for themselves, but for other people. You may mock the Bee Gees and only associate them with disco, which Barry Gibb says is incredibly unfair.
How about the Bee Gees?
Yet there'd barely be anyone on the planet who couldn't hum or drop into that iconic falsetto for a few bars of a song written or sung by a Gibb brother. Their body of work is just that big. Because there are so many musical periods of the Bee Gees' career to get through, some of their more interesting personal lives are glossed over a touch. For example, Robin is painted as the happy-go-lucky, funny one in the film, but a search on Google will reveal a much darker and possibly kinkier side to Robin.
Has the enormous success changed your life?
Well, I was speaking to one of my friends the other day, and as he was cleaning my shoes, I said, "Listen."
Andy Gibb, who also features in the doco as a bit of a Barry clone, poor Robin and Morris certainly didn't get the handsome genes, wasn't the only Gibb brother who enjoyed a bit too much nose candy. This film also features interviews with contemporary artists who've been influenced by the Bee Gees, like Justin Timberlake.
I mean, that could very easily have just been a horn line. But instead, their voices are so sick, they're like, nah, we're going to sing it.
Mark Ronson, one of the Jonas Brothers, and even Chris Martin. But the biggest surprise is Noel Gallagher, who obviously loves the brothers' harmonies and their earlier work from the mid to late 60s.
When you've got brothers singing, it's like an instrument that nobody else can buy.
Barry Gibb, who's obviously going through some lonely days, obviously misses his brothers. But there are plenty of spics and specs of them in the form of concert footage and archival interviews with Robin and Morris to fill out the family band's story.
We often thought we were triplets. We had the same sense of humour. We had the same love of the same kind of music.
This film, despite its subtitle, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, is joyful, celebratory and very watchable, even for the casual Bee Gee fan, and ensures the musical legacy of the Bee Gees will be staying alive for quite some time to come.
Oh, thanks so much, Michael. Two films to get into as we're heading into the holidays. Hey, we'll catch you next week.
Pleasure.